Here we are again. Thank the Lord. It's good to be back. It's good to be in service. We want to look to the Word of God one more time. And we are depending on the Lord to meet our needs here tonight. I hope everyone's able to hear clearly. We're doing our best to speak where you can hear. Prayerfully now, you pray that the Lord will meet us and bless us. And I hope all day long you've been praying and meditating about tonight, looking for God to feed our souls one more time. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, will you please turn here? Joshua is one of my heroes in the Bible. I appreciate Joshua. Amen. Appreciate him very much. I appreciate Caleb. I appreciate those who dare to take God at His word and enter into the promises of God. Encouraging to my soul, Joshua has been many, many times. It is his counsel and instruction to the children of Israel that we are interested in tonight. A life well lived, a full life, one that has so many highlights, every one of them good, so many highlights, and we can get good and gain from the inspiration that remains from the life of Joshua. 24th chapter, Joshua is addressing the assembling of the tribes, and we find these two verses, 14 and 15, these words: "Now, therefore, fear the Lord." That sounds like something I've read somewhere else. The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear the Lord. We are in a time now where there just simply isn't a lot of fear of the Lord. Oh, God, help us now. Remember when Joseph was in a real close situation, and the thing that contributed to his success in fighting off the enemy was his fear of the Lord. He feared God. He had a reverence and a respect to the things of God. There just isn't a lot of that anymore. We are living in a time that has so exalted man, that has so exalted the self and the image of self, till the fear of God is something that does not rest on the hearts and minds of many today. But this is still good counsel. It's sound counsel. Fear the Lord. God help us. Joshua wanted to establish before these tribes that if you're going to be successful, if you're going to have the blessings and favor of God, you must fear God. Now, there's folks that want to say, well, you think God wants us to be afraid of Him, or does He just want us to respect Him? Amen. There's times when I'm afraid of God. There's times when a real settling fear comes on me. There are things that I would not dare do or say for fear that the Lord would strike me out of His book. Oh, friend, we need to have both. The highest regard, the highest esteem and honor goes unto God, and we are to fear God. When we were little children, come a thunderstorm, come a hard rain, we were taught as little children, sit and be quiet. This is the Lord's work, and that printed in my mind. This is God's work, that big clap of thunder and rolling thunder and clap of lightning. The fear of the Lord. But since I've grown and since I've tasted of His salvation and tasted of His goodness, it makes me know that there is a part of God, there's a side of God, friend, that it do us well as mortals to fear and tremble and quake. Moses said, "I do exceedingly fear." When the Lord would call him to the top of the mountain, he would quiver and shake going in the presence of God. That ought to tell us something, folks. God is to be feared. The fear of the Lord will keep us. It'll be a stay. It'll be that backstop when something that
You know, I hear this. I hear, I know I shouldn't do this, but if there were a fear of the Lord, that'd be a backstop for us right there. I will not do it. I fear God. Lord, help us now. Fear the Lord. Next. And serve Him in sincerity and truth. Right back to basics again, see? Right down to the basics of being successful in the Christian life. Right down to the basic bottom line of what it takes for you and for me and everybody everywhere to really get close to God is to serve Him in sincerity and truth. Let me tell you something. We ought not have a way we come before God in the assembly that's different from the way we come before God in our homes. Amen. There ought not be any preparation I make that's so drastically different to come in here than you'd find me on the job. We're talking about sincerity now. Sincerity. Anywhere, any place, any way you find me, it'll be the same thing going forward, considering the circumstance that you find me in. Sincerity. Sincerity and truth. And sincerity and truth. This is important. It's important that we serve God sincerely and according to truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Put away idol gods. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Today, my Lord, Lord, help us now. No other gods. At one place the writer said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds and hath caused them not to see the things of God. We're to have no other God, friend. No other God. No other God. And the world is so full of other gods. So full of other gods that are being worshipped and paid homage to that rightfully belongs to the true and living God. May the Lord help us. Joshua says, fear Him. Serve Him in sincerity. Put away the gods of your fathers. There were those in the midst who had long history in their family lineages of idolatry and idol worship kind of mixed in and mingled in my own family, thinking back down through the family. Had folks in it seemed to have a mind to love the Lord and live for the Lord throughout the family, tracing back through aunts and uncles and so forth and grandparents. But a lot of that sometimes wasn't the worship of the true God. It wasn't according to truth. Here the instruction is saying, put all that away. Get in a real clear place. Serve God in sincerity and truth. Lord, help us. Clear up, clear away. You know, this is serious here. Jesus said He came to separate. He came to divide. He came to call out and so forth. And He does that. You may find yourself in a position that is opposing to a position that your family takes when you decide to serve God. Pretty quiet now, isn't it? Different than what my family takes. It's different than what my family believes. I'm speaking of earthly family, mother, father, sister, brothers, uncles, aunts, and on and on and on. A different position. Not to be obstinate, not to be hard-headed, not to be stubborn, but to be in a true, clear place before God and my soul. Oh, and I still have love for them and desire toward them that they love Him and serve Him too. This is important, folks. Jesus Christ came along to split right down family lines. Amen. And He also came along to establish family lines. Glory be to God. I believe that a family can be clear and straight right down the line walking in the truth. I don't believe it has to be one believes this and one believes that and another believes something different. I want you to fear God, Joshua is saying. The real fear of God. I want you to serve Him. I want you to be sincere from the heart. No hypocrisy, no pretense, no feigning service of God. Now listen to what He says. And in Egypt, the gods that you got acquainted with and associated with Egypt, put them all aside. Serve ye the Lord. And that's the cry I hear. That's the cry I hear tonight. Serve the Lord.
It means something to serve the Lord, folks. How do we serve Him? How can I serve God? Serve Him. Well, let's try to understand serving Him as we serve one another, as we serve our loved ones. Or maybe you can get a little picture of it even as you are faithful and loyal to an employer, as you serve on the job. You serve. You are to be profitable for that one. You are to bring to them profit and advancement. You are to magnify them. When you're serving another, it's for their good and benefit and pleasure. Don't forget this. Amen. Sometimes we're serving, we think we're supposed to get something. But the idea of service is that the other will be magnified and lifted up. Serve the Lord, magnify Him, lift Him up. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, God help us, I don't hardly know how it could seem evil to anyone to serve the Lord. I hardly can understand how anyone can come up with the idea that serving God is evil, is wrong, is unprofitable. But if it should appear, if it seems to you that it's evil, that there's something wrong with serving God, then Joshua takes a clear stand. If it seems evil, then you choose. Listen, folks, we're in a position in serving God that involves making choice. We make choice. We do things because we choose to do them. I am aware that there's a great lax in taking responsibility for the things we choose to do. We want to say it was the preacher's fault and it was the church and it was that sister, my husband. But really, when we consider our actions, there had to be a choice made by us in the position and path that we took. Be responsible in the kind of choice you take. You're making a choice. Joshua said, now, if you don't want to serve God, if all of this seems to be too much, then you choose. And I know this is where a number in the world today, this is where they want to stop and say, now, wait a minute. Don't put that on me that way. Don't make me choose. No one is making you choose. This is just the way it is. We have to choose who we serve. And folks, we do it. We do choose. We choose. Oh, I was so stirred one time a question was asked and there was no response to the question. It was a fair question and there was no response. And the thought came to me so forcibly, to make no action or move at all is an action in itself. Oh, folks, you can't be quiet in this and you can't find a neutral ground, a place where I won't make a choice right now and I'm just going to kind of sit here and let things go. You've made a choice, friend. You've chosen to do nothing about the grace of God and the Word of God that's bestowed so freely upon you. That's a choice, you see. By your own actions, you chose to do nothing. Therefore, God holds you for that choice. You chose to do nothing about it. You're going to have to move, see. It's so designed that we have to expose ourselves. Choose, he says. Choose. I want you to make a choice. You this day, whom ye will serve. Choose who you'll serve. Oh, I'm thankful we have a choice in the matter. I'm thankful that there's actually an opportunity that I can choose who I want to be a servant to. I can choose the one I want to be connected with. I'm grateful that it's a choice. I'm so thankful that it's not this way. Well, all that, I called one time into looking up some information and they asked me what side of the highway I lived on. I said, what's that got to do with insurance rates? He said, if you live on the west side, it costs more than the east side. I lived on the Cosmore side. I said, how unfair. Because I live here, it costs me more. I have no choice. It's already been preset. How unfair. But when it comes to the matter of your soul, of your eternal destiny, of where you'll spend eternity, or rather where you'll exist, in eternity, the Lord says, now choose. And I haven't met a man yet that just flat out tells me, I choose hell. I haven't met him yet. Amen. I haven't met boys and girls that just flat tell me, I choose hell.
But I've met them who by their actions, who by their behavior, who by their inaction, who by their procrastination are saying loud and clear in the presence of Almighty God, I choose hell. I'll have nothing to do with you. Choose who you serve. Choose who you serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, idol gods. You know, I'm amazed at folks that feel secure. Their little chain around their neck with a little gold cross on it. And really, that's important to them. That little gold cross. And they have confidence of some kind in that. And that's actually nothing. Nothing. Then the fellow that won't have the gold cross, he's got a rabbit foot. Got him a rabbit foot on the chain, or he's got him a horseshoe nailed up over the door. So, I want to protect myself some way and somehow. What are you doing with that horseshoe? Well, I want good luck. God help us. People choose all kinds of things. They do it willfully. Knowingly. I didn't know, Lord. I didn't know what I was choosing. I didn't know what I was doing. Hold it here. If it seems evil to you, make choice. If you aren't just openly receiving Jesus Christ and you can't see that and you're not willing tonight to yield your life to Christ, then you need to make a choice because God is laying it out clear. Choose who you serve. God. The true and living God, or the gods of your fathers, the gods that men made up, the things that men are caught up in, choose that. Many gods in this world. God, the God of the greenback is a big one. Amen, old greenback. He's got a lot of folks saying, amen, brother. Brother greenback. Choose. Amen. There were gods that were on the other side of the flood, gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. Choose. It's almost as if there were a silent thought in the group. What are you going to do, Joshua? Do you know something I get out of this text? Every one of us is going to be declared before God whom we're serving. Every one of us is going to be declared before God who we serve. But as for me and my house, we don't hear a lot of that anymore. We hear, as for me, what about my house? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, glory to God. I've often wondered what kind of connection and power did Joshua have to speak for Miss Joshua and all the children. God help us now. Well, honey, let me speak for myself. As for me and my house, that's taking responsibility, isn't it? We're responsible for our house, folks. Not just your soul to be straight and right with God, but you're responsible for the souls in your house. That's getting hot now, isn't it? You know the trouble you're having in your house right now, too, don't you? And I'm responsible for all that. Yes, you are. Amen. Joshua said it bold and loud, me and my house. My wife is with me, we're together, and the children do what we say. They do. The children do what we say. No amens. I figured it wouldn't be many. How do you get them to do what you say? We need the Lord to help us. I believe because of lacks of clear, concise choices that don't send a mixed message, that don't say it's all right to serve God in this, but you can slide in that. Children are getting confusion messages from the parents. And they can't make a clear decision. They can't decide and accept what you're doing, because what you're doing is kind of mixed up. But if you ever get it straight and get it all together and live it consistently, they'll know what you're talking about. God help us here. As for me and my house, made me think of something, Brother Felix. Lord, really bless and save Brother Felix Francisco. Made me think of something he said. He said after he got out away from the Lord, he was so ashamed. He'd gotten out away from the Lord. And they're on a job or somewhere. Little girl got to talking to him, little child. And she said, "Mister, are you saved? Are you a Christian?" He said it felt so bad. This little child asking him a question like that. And he didn't want to just tell her, "Well, you see, I'm out and away from God and backslidden and on my way to hell." He didn't want to say all that. So he thought a while. He said he looked at her and finally said, "Sometimes..." Folks, that's the kind of answer and message we send out to folks. We don't send out, "Yes, I am saved. I am sanctified. I am satisfied." But we send out, sometimes I am. And you want somebody to just wholeheartedly support a stand like that? You want somebody to throw all they got right in behind you with a shoddy stand like that? "Sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not." What does that mean, "sometimes I am"? It's about the way we handle it. When I feel like it, I am. I don't feel like it right now. See? Choose. There's much hinging and pivoting on the choices we make. We're affecting our souls. We're affecting souls around us. We are creating and setting precedents for folks to stake their lives on. God help me now. Somebody's sick. I've heard the request. I know some of the burdens you carry. I've heard you talk about them. Somebody's sick. Somebody needs help. We need God. Now, this is not a time to be a sometimes, is it? No. Amen. When somebody's laying in trouble, it's not a good time to be a sometimes. Amen. Sometimes I trust Him. And, well, if you don't have the faith, you got to do something like what? Choose! Listen, folks. This is what Elijah was dealing with. If God be God, then let's choose Him. Once we choose Him, away with the gods of my fathers. Away with the gods of the people. Away with the gods of this hour. Once I choose Him, I can say with David the psalmist, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." Need to be set, don't we, right here? Need to be fixed. I remember some decisions were being made. You got teenagers in your home. If you haven't got them, you're in for a great treat. This is where you need to, your choice needs to be clear. Because they'll find every crack and weak place you have. Amen. They'll find out whether you've chosen or not. See, if you kind of borderline it and sliding around and kind of just easing and greasing along, they'll come along and hit you with that very question. And you won't be able to say no or yes. You'll be floating around somewhere. Folks, we need to make the kind of choice that we can look them right in the eye and say, "No, daughter." "Yes, son." Clear. Unwavering. I didn't have to go off somewhere and pray and think about it. This thing was settled when I chose Jesus Christ. It was settled before you ever come in our family, honey. We already got this answer. You grow up and you hear it, but we already know what we're going to tell you. Amen. I wonder what I'm going to tell the children. I wonder how I'm going to tell my boy. You should have had that settled when you chose Christ. What are you going to tell it? Somebody said, "Well, tell them about what? Tell them about what?" Whatever it is you need to deal with. Folks, wishy-washy, undefinite, uncommitment, inconsistencies say loud and clear, my choice is not settled. I choose Jesus as long as it's the fanfare day. It's the ribbon parade. I choose Him. Now we need some folks to put on the hard hats, hip boots. All right now. We're going out in a mosquito-infested swamp for Jesus Christ. I ain't going out there. I'm not going there. But I chose Him, see? I chose Him. I said, Lord, I'll follow You all the way. Yeah. I'm speaking figurative, folks. I'm not speaking about walking out through a mud swamp somewhere. But I mean the distasteful things. The things that are contrary and against what the flesh wants to do. When I choose Jesus, I chose the whole package. Yes, Lord. All of it. I chose everything, Lord. Every suffering, every tear, every disappointment. I still choose You, Lord. Joshua said to the people, choose. He was doing more than say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Amen. Heads you win, tails you lose. Folks, it's deeper than that. Yeah. It's a committing of my life that cannot be reversed.
That's right.
I chose Him. Oh, it's like when you're married. You don't keep those old girlfriend pictures around, do you?
Amen. All right,
yeah. Start cleaning out, don't you? Only got one picture now. Amen. Just one picture now. One true love now. Isn't that the way it is? One true love. I only read letters that He wrote me. I only keep the letters He sent me. One true love. I chose Him. That's it. That's so clear. That's so plain. And this is what choosing means. That's what it means. And the choice we make tonight, the choices that we made whenever, back there, whenever we made them for the Lord, to live for the Lord, He'll honor that choice.
Yes, He will.
You understand the implications of God honoring your choice? Because I have made the Lord. I made the Lord my trust. Because I made Him my King. Don't you know He's going to stand by you and stand with you? Amen. Oh, there are those that can't be sure in a close place whether God is with them or not. And I want to remind you, did you make a clear choice from the beginning? Yes, I did. Then I can tell you without fear, He's with you. He's with you. Amen. He's not going to drop you off somewhere and leave you dangling in the wind. You don't have to worry about where the next meal's going to come from if you chose Him. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor the seed begging bread. Now, this is for folks who have made a clear choice, the righteous. This is not those sometime fellas. Amen. Not those sometime fellas. I hope we get this. I hope we've gotten it already. And if we haven't, I hope we get it tonight. We will. We exercise in a deliberate, determined way our will to serve God. We will serve the Lord. I believe over was the fourth chapter of Acts, somewhere along there, where Peter and John going up to the temple to worship. And he was walking along with his good friend and brother. Looked on this crippled man and he didn't say, look at me. Look, I know what I've got working in me. I know the commitment I may have with God. Look at me. He spoke for his good friend and brother. Oh, listen, folks. There's a reality here. There's something clear and unmistakable. Look on us. We're together. There's power. There's unction. When our choice is settled, irrevocable. Look on us. Amen. I know the other brothers stood just as straight. Whatever he says, I'm in it up to here. Glory to God. I believe it up to here. Look on us. That goes back to a was made, folks. Trace it on back.
Now there is a process of making a choice. I recognize that. There's a process where we have to weigh things out, where we have to conclude and come to the very best with whatever faculties we have as to what we want to do with our never dying soul. What I want to do with my soul. And you can work with that. Work with this one while you're dealing with it. And the souls of my little ones. What I want to do with the souls of my children. I love them. And I want the best for them. I'm going to get them the best education. I'm going to get them the best cars. I'm going to buy them the best clothes. I'm going to feed them the best food. Listen to what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about their soul's well-being. Amen. There have been children that came up through the ranks of have little to nothing, but have excelled and achieved and become presidents and leaders and important people. Yes. So it isn't in how well we groom them. No. Come on now. No. But the bottom line of it all is a heritage in righteousness, a father, a mother who made choices that have affected them down through their lives, and they were able to see the power and the working of God because they chose and never varied from it. God help us. There's something that happens to children that are raised up in an atmosphere like that where the choice was settled. Amen. And others too are affected. Choose. Make the wise choice. God help us. Luke 10, quickly. 38. Simple scripture. Still on the same line of considerations here. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Amen. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. These two sisters, in so many ways alike, and yet when it comes down to the matter of souls, of eternity, of eternal well-being, so far apart. Sisters. Read on, he says. But Martha was cumbered. You know, I searched that word cumbered, and it brought these thoughts to my mind. To be occupied in a very injurious way. Cumbered. Amen. She's occupied, busy, alert, very, very good taste. You'll never find an individual that has the taste of this woman. She's well occupied. She's a homemaker excellence. Amen. Nothing wrong with that, folks. Nothing wrong with that. But it says of her, she was cumbered. It's wrong when it begins to be cumber. When I'm occupied in it to the extent it's injuring me spiritually. Right. It's injuring my walk with God. It's injuring me. It's hurting me. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? When I should be engaged in the things of God, the things that cumber me have a higher priority. Right. Cumber. Injuriously occupied. Just couldn't get away. I was tied up. Well, what were you doing? Sometimes you're ashamed to even say so. Couldn't make it to meeting. I couldn't get out to prayer meeting. Incidentally, you want to find the spiritual pulse of a congregation anywhere at any time? Attend prayer meeting. You'll find the spiritual pulse. You know pulse, signs of life. Come to prayer meeting. I'll guarantee you there'll be a handful of real praying folks there and a lot of vacancies. I'll guarantee you. A lot of vacancies. It's only prayer meeting.
Only? Prayer meeting? The poet said prayer is the key on the bended knee. We need to put that key in plenty of places and turn, don't we? Oh, when the saints are praying, that service is a service that ought to have a high priority. When your choice is right, it'll have that kind of priority. Prayer meeting. I'm tailoring everything I'm doing to be there. It's prayer meeting tonight. Oh, there's much here in choice, folks. I hope we get some of this. Much as God bless us. Cumbered. She was cumbered about much serving. She's a perfectionist. Cumbered. There's a lot of folks that are perfectionists and they're worried about things that are going to burn. Things that are going to decay. Things that we're going to leave behind. Amen. Cumbered. About much serving. Watch. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now let's get Jesus' mind on this business. And Jesus answered and said unto her, just put your name in there now. Put your name right in there. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, and they're killing your soul. The things that you are all caught up and tied in are choking the spiritual life out of you. Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Why are you worried about serving? The one that can do everything for you is here. God help us. I've known the saints to get in service. I know. I've been in plenty of camp meetings, plenty of services, and I know how they run, and I know we try to honor that 10:30 and 2:30 and 7:30. We try to honor that. But you know, sometimes the Spirit gets to working in a service, and souls begin to yield, and the power of God begins to work, and 10:30 turns into 12:30, and 12:30 is going on up to 1:30, and we haven't eaten yet. You know, it'll always be somebody that says, when are we going to eat? What do you think we're doing? What do you think this is all about? When are we going to eat? Lord, help us. That's what this is all about in here. We're eating and drinking and being blessed and getting full. And whenever the Lord finishes with this, if you still need, feel like you need a little something, there'll be something over there after a while. I agree with that 100%. Ding! Time to eat. We'll be back, Lord. Lord, help us. Cumbered. Lord, I want you to tell her to help me. You're so careful and you're so troubled about many things. Get the Lord's message. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen. When did she choose? When did Mary choose? When did she decide that what she was going to do, if Jesus comes in, she's going to follow him around and everything he says, he'll hang on his words. When did she decide that? Well, it doesn't show us when she decided it, but one thing is certain. Finding her seated at his feet is a pretty good indication of what she desired and what she wanted. Amen. She's chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Did you get that? When you make your choice solid and clear, it cannot be taken away from you. No man can take it. Oh, glory to God. Nobody can come along smooth tongue and just look like whatever you want to think they are and come with a big shout and a bang. When you settle that you're following God, you'll not be easily deceived and moved by anything. Folks that are moved, folks that are shifty and sliding, better check their choice. Amen. Amen. Now, I thank the Lord everybody that comes along doesn't beat on your pulpit like I do. I'm glad the Lord's got some that'll just stand right still and tell it to you without even moving one spot. But you know what really makes this thing click? I chose the Lord from the beginning.
That's right.
I settled all of that from the beginning.
Yes.
Preachers preach. Amen.
Yes.
Preach. Well, what if some foul food comes out? It doesn't affect me at all.
That's right.
It doesn't affect me at all. That's not what I made my choice on. God help us now. You know, we had a fellow come in one time in one of our meetings. He took a seat right down front. And about prayer request time, he jumped up and was in the pulpit so fast, you couldn't say, "What do you want, sir?" He was already there. So he got to talking. Oh, he got to going. And I thank the Lord for the Word of God, the pure Word of God. And there's places, folks, you hear me say, it's a privilege to sit under the gospel. There's places where they'll read one or two scriptures and hum you the rest of the way. That's nothing. Don't be humming me. Preach the Word. Fella gonna hum me through. Well, he got up and got to humming and moaning and carrying on, and I appreciated the saints so much. The saints just sat there, and everybody looked at the dear man. They just looked at him. Didn't nobody say, "You out of order, brother," and so forth. Everybody just kept looking at him. He said, "Oh, you don't want it, huh?" Nobody said anything. "You don't want it, huh?" Nobody said anything yet. But I wanted to talk to the gentleman. And that fella closed his Bible just as quick as he got in that pulpit. He hit the door. Boom. You can't move saints that have made their choice. We just endured that. The fella was humming and carrying on. We were hoping he'd quit. But we just looked at him. Oh, that dear man. God help us. That is the result of a clear choice. A clear choice. There's all kinds of distractions and interference in the world we live in, folks. When you say, "I'm going to follow Jesus," there are 10 distractions to pull you away from it. Or more. When you settle it, I'm sitting at His feet. And I know whose feet I'm sitting at. Praise God, I know the feet that I'm sitting under. Glory to God, you're not going to be easily moved. They can come with signs and wonders and miracles. You won't be moved. God help us now, folks.
That's right.
Some folks act like they never saw a wonder. They never experienced a miracle. If you make your choice, there's plenty of that's going to come your way. God will see to it. Let somebody come along saying, "We were in a place and fella had a big tent." Oh, that tent might have been half as large as chapel, you think?
Yeah.
Big, big, big one. And the saints brought their tent out, and our tent looked like this handkerchief in size. Had our little tent out, and this fella had this big tent. And he had some huge signs. And I read one of his signs. He said, "We got all the wonders and miracles operating in our meeting." Lord help us. We drove by that tent, wasn't anybody in there. I said, "That fella's deceived. If he had all the wonders and all the miracles, nobody'd have room to get in." But after a while, see, our tent's down the road a piece. The saints put their little tent up. And we went on with meeting, and the ones the Lord would allow to come out came, and we had good meeting. Prosperous meeting. The Lord blessed His word. After a while, guess who came to meeting? Guess who came to meeting after a while? That fellow that had all the miracles and signs, he came to a real meeting. Sat down in our meeting and he just watched and studied and looked. And that says something to me. You know, a lot of times we say, "Oh, we need a bigger tent. We need a bigger that." No, folks. We need a clearer, unmoving choice for Jesus Christ. Oh, we could get the big tractor trailers and roll them in and have a big fanfare and no settled, clear position in God, and we wouldn't be any better than those fellas. Trying to shake the change out of people's pockets. But we were bringing the gospel. And if they didn't want it, we wanted it. You know what I love about this? You can have a meeting, and God, nobody came to the meeting. We had several people, but it just had a wonderful meeting. The saints were just shouting and feeding and praying. We want it. If nobody else comes, we want it. We want to make it clear, we want it. We made our choice, see? You let somebody come in that doesn't know what's going on, and they come in the midst of folks that are committed, that have made their choice, that are testifying, as we've heard here, and different testimonies of deliverance and help, bodies healed and souls and bodies saved. That has a very powerful effect on people. And they may not understand all that's going on, but they sense a commitment. And you know, that's one of the things that will cause people to back up from you and I when they sense lack of commitment and direction. They sensed it. Well, you don't hardly believe that yourself. Amen. When they see you believe it and you practice it, you're right there at the feet of Jesus where He's placed you to learn of Him. That has the kind of effect. That's the kind of effect the Lord would produce. Oh, making our choice tonight. Make our choice. It won't be taken away from her. Cannot be taken away from her. Get that. Get that now. Oh, may Jesus speak to our hearts. Why? Be cumbered. Another place Jesus came up on a little tree and looking for fruit on it. And you know this story, how they account, and He reached for fruit was done. By and by, He said, why cumbereth it the ground? And we're still thinking about this occupied injuriously. Something that is injurious. Just kind of sitting on the bench, a bench warmer. Haven't really made the kind of choice that's going to bring any real troubles and trials my way, because I can slick and slide. You know, down our way, I don't know if you have them here, we got some little fellas, little lizards. I took a piece of white paper and slid it out. Boy, he turned green and he turned brown. He turned green again. See? You either pure or you're not pure. Now you turn all kind of different shades in between, but you can't shade a shade pure. God help us. Got folks that turn all kind of shades, but they can't turn pure. The choice determines your purity. God help us. Determines your purity, how pure you are. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that have made their choice beyond appeal. For they shall see God. Amen. Your choice and your purity go together. Amen. I pray the Lord will bless us tonight. It's a real burden on my heart. The Hebrew writer in the 12th chapter. Now he's going to help us out. Hebrews 12. Well, before we get there, 11th chapter of Hebrews, trying to get down to the finish here. Pray for us. Trying to get down to the finish. Want to get us all something to stir us and bless us and just inspire our faith and cause us. You know, I like the folks. We were in a meeting one time and a whole group of folks came in. We had a group of Dunkard brethren to come in. They brought half of their congregation in. And they sat off in a corner. Very solemn. And the saints were singing and enjoying the Lord. And they were solemn. Then it came time for the Word of God. And the Lord blessed the Word that night. And the Word went forth. And they had two or three of their elders in there. And it got hot. Some of their folks got to saying, amen. And after that service, we went back to the door like we normally do, like you do here to meet the people. And outside, the elders had three or four of them. They're discussing and challenging that wasn't right and so forth. You know, I got a real thrill. I got a real blessing. I said, Lord, when we have settled in our hearts and we know where we're going and where we're from, then we can help others. Then we can help others. Those folks, precious folks, they come around ever so often. But that was a night I'll never forget. Make your choice. Then it doesn't matter who comes. It doesn't matter what the setting is. It doesn't matter who preaches. That's it. Amen. It won't matter now. I can tell you of a surety, you get a congregation that's clear and steady with God, and they can cause the minister to preach beyond his ability. Amen. Amen. Can help it. God bless you, brother. You clear and clean, that is straightening right out. Growing right in the pulpit. He's growing. Congregation helping him grow. Helping him get there. Amen. It's important, our choice, folks. Joshua said, choose. He was giving. He's about to get off the scene. He's about to leave the scene of action. He's trying to give them that which would sustain and carry them all the way. Choose who you serve. Choose him. Serve him in sincerity. Serve him with all your heart. What more could he say? Just fold his arms now and die. I've given them thy word, O God. Told them what to do. You know, if we follow that, we'll be blessed. We'll be a blessed people. Hebrews, Moses now. We know this part, but let's watch it. 24th verse 11. Chapter by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, look here. Somebody said, how can I turn down all this success? Oh, the future looks bright. It looks good. Moses had it made, if we want to look at it from that point of view. Royalty. A life that encompasses all that royalty can have. People bowing down to him. Amen. But when he came of age, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, what you gonna do? He chose. He made choice. Listen to what he chose. Yes, I'm going to say it here tonight, and perhaps this is the one part that some perceive as negative. He chose to suffer with the people of God. Oh, there's too many folks that want the glory and don't want the suffering. Want the anointing and not the suffering. They go together. Amen. They go together. Power, the anointing, and the unction. And along with suffering. Along with suffering, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm thinking about Uriah the Hittite now.
All right.
He made his choice. You know, when you underestimate somebody who's made their choice for the Lord, you made a big mistake. You made a terrible mistake when you underestimate someone who's real. David called Uriah in and told him to go refresh yourself, go down to your house and relax and take it easy and no problem, and just have a good time. The king shut his door and Uriah threw a little pallet down and laid down on the floor.
All right.
I'd like to know what was in his heart. In a little bit we're going to find out. You can read it. The king came out and Uriah, what are you doing here? I told you to go home and refresh yourself. It's all right, I'm the king. Oh, God help us. My Lord King, the children of Israel are sleeping in tents. The children of Israel are engaged in combat. How can I go down and comfort and relax myself? I have made the choice to be with them. Oh, God. Somebody said, what would have been wrong for that brother to go home and refresh himself? It's not consistent with the choice he made. It is inconsistent with the choice he made. Lord, I'll follow you all the way. Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll follow you. Peter, before the cock shall crow, twice you'll deny me three times. Peter had the right stand. He just didn't have the right insides. His choice. You make the right choice when you find yourself cornered in. And they begin to question you. You'll join Stephen. Amen. You'll join Stephen. You hear me? He stood there and talked with them and explained and expounded. And they came up on him and gnashed the teeth. And after that, they stoned him. You'll join Stephen. Don't you think he could have gotten out of that? Hold it, brothers. Hold it now. Y'all don't have to do all this. I've made my choice. That choice finds me today standing for God at the peril of my life. That's my choice. Finally, David couldn't move this noble, valiant. You know what a valiant man is? A man or a woman who's made their choice and will not repeal it, will not seek any kind of relief from the choice they made. Now, I know to some that sounds radical. I don't know any other way to serve the Lord. I don't know any other way to serve God. Brother Felix told that little girl, sometimes that's not good enough. They stoned Stephen calling on the name of the Lord. And so powerful a witness Stephen did carry and did possess, and it was so pure and so potent, to one standing there holding the garments of those who were stoning him, was smitten in his heart deep. God help us. Do you know it took a Stephen, and it takes that level of commitment to move the Sauls? You understand what I'm talking about? There are people in the world today, folks, in the world, the common world that we live in, who are committed and know what it means to be committed. They're committed to businesses and one thing and another. And when they come up against wishy-washy Christians, they want to puke. God help us. How did you learn to play the piano like you play it? Practicing hour upon hour upon hour and refusing to be defeated. I've given my life to know this piano.
Yes, that's right.
I've given my life to know it. And everyone that's done that, they're famous. Amen. Think about it. Everyone that's done that. We're not thinking in the terms of we're going to be famous. I'm only making a point here. What you give yourself to is going to be vital to others. People who've made commitments and who have made sacrifices and who have denied themselves for lesser things will not hear the testimony of a wishy-washy Christian. They won't hear it. But when Stephen paid the full price, Saul of Tarsus heard it. Glory to God. He heard it. He heard it. This was a man that was zealous. He was strong in the Jews' religion. He believed what he was doing. He thought it was right. And he was staking his life on it. Till he met another man who staked his life on Jesus. And laid it down. And it broke down everything he ever had or knew. Oh, listen, folks. We're going to move for this age and time. It's going to take nothing short of that kind of choice. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. And while Stephen was going down, oh, what penetrating words. Lay not this sin to their charge. I forgive them. Hallelujah! You see, my choice is so clear that you can't hurt me by killing me. You can't hurt me by rejecting me. You can't offend me by not liking me.
Amen.
I made my choice.
Amen.
I'm not offended when folks don't like me.
Amen.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
God help us. Do you see it tonight? Do you see it tonight? Do you see the importance of the kind of choice? We've just scratched the surface. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. When Paul and Silas were down in prison, beaten and sore and They didn't lick one another's wounds, figuratively speaking. They didn't moan, and Silas didn't say, "Paul, if I ever get out of this, I don't want nothing else to do with you. No. He didn't start accusing him. And Paul didn't say, "Well, you miserable fella, you crying and whining." Oh, what, they had a prayer meeting. They made their choice. Whether you beat me or lock me up, I'm still going to praise it. Amen. Doesn't matter how you treat me now, I'm going to serve him. Locked there in stocks, hands and feet. No doubt the aching could have been soothed just that they could rub one another's back. Didn't have that privilege, so they sang praises unto God. How do you know they were right? How do you know God was with them? How do you know He accepted the sacrifice? After a while, the ground started trembling. Yeah. Oh, glory! The ground got to trembling and shaking, and the locks started coming loose, and doors flew open, and chains flew off. These men have made the right choice. Oh, no doubt in my mind, they're on the right trail. Let's follow them. Amen. Old jailer knew the implications of all of that. All the prisoners gone. His life's at stake. He's put his life for those prisoners. Took out his sword to slay himself. Do thyself no harm. Don't you know this choice is a choice that means life for everybody? This choice means life for everyone. Everybody can have life. When you make the right choice, you can say, "Ask for me in my house." It means life. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Now that's unusual. Take a man that's locked up, and at the thought of being free, he's gone. Nighttime too. Gone. Nobody moved. They were under the sweet presence and power of God. There were men in the midst that had principle and character, and God in heaven had signatured their check. Oh, sirs. Oh. Let me clean your back. I'm sorry I hit you. They made the right choice. In that whole house, the jailer and his house. A choice for Christ is a choice for life. For our family and loved ones and friends, it's a choice for life.
That's right. Yes.
And they were delivered that night, and they had, let me say it as plain as I can, they had church. Yes. Glory to God, they sang and they shouted, they hugged one another. The right choice, when it's made, it automatically puts us together.
That's right.
Oh, you can't keep us apart when we make the right choice. When we see the brethren and come in the midst, it's a sign, it's a vote, it's a thumbs up for life, it's a thumbs up for well-being, it's a thumbs up for the best that God will give to those who trust Him. I choose life. I choose Jesus Christ. Irrevocable. I follow Him all the way now. Lord, give me the strength and the grace to follow You all the way.